So hi y'all, my name's Katie. I am a compulsive overeater and I'm super happy to be here. There's some, at least one or two faces I recognize, so it's great to see y'all again. My meeting attendance has definitely changed since the pandemic. A lot more Zoom meetings. There's actually less in-person meetings available lately, but I'm going to try and make an effort to get to more of those since things are opening up and my life is changing and all that stuff. Talking about the tools, it feels like the easiest way for me to talk about them is just tell y'all some of my story, how I've worked the steps, and because you need to work this the tools, you need to use the tools to work the steps, basically. I'm of the opinion that the tools aren't the program, but you kind of need them to work the steps. So I think I'll also start by saying that so I have let me do the math. 20 about 22 and a half years of abstinence, you know, Overeaters Anonymous. I looked at my day counter today and it's 8,246 days, which that's quite a number to me. You're like, what? I have a few years to get to 10,000, but that'll be a cool little milestone too. But everyone I know who has long-term abstinence in this program, they go to meetings, they work the steps, and they do service. So service right there, that's one of the tools. And I believe there's service available to anyone, you know, regardless of how long you've been in program, what kind of abstinence you have. In in-person meetings, I remember my first service was putting away chairs or giving somebody a ride. And you know, I'm definitely a person who's afraid of other people, but like I could have that conversation of like, oh, the chairs go here, you got that? Yeah, you know, or I could talk to somebody for 10 minutes in the car, or at least listen to somebody for 10 minutes, or be in their presence for 10 minutes, you know, and that felt like doing service. And it helped me feel like a part of the program. And that's one of the reasons I kind of keep doing it. Kind of, you know, there's lots of reasons. One, I want to give back. Two, I like to feel a part of things. Three, it keeps me coming back. I've had a few service positions that were, you know, really long term, like, you know, a year and a half or something. So the joke was always like, well, I'll be around till at least June of next year, haha. You know, but that's more than the joke. It's true. It's keeping me here. And there are times it's like I'm going to the meeting just because I have a service position. Which leads me to the next tool. A meeting is, I would assert for most people is the first tool that they use. You get to a meeting, you meet some people, you hear about the program, maybe go to some more, decide if it's for you, find a home meeting. I definitely realize that all meetings are a little different. They have a different flavor, and some work better for me than others. I will say that I've never left a meeting feeling like it was a waste of my time. So, you know, even if there's things happened that I didn't appreciate or I didn't agree with, I always got something out of it, some kind of recovery. Because the way I look at it is everyone here wants it somehow, you know. No matter if you've been absent 5 minutes or 50 years, you know, we're here. We're not, I'm pretty sure nobody's eating right now. If you are, great, maybe it's your breakfast. And if you're overeating, hey, you know what? At least you're here. So that's the way I look at it. An absence can start anytime. You know, that's I always look at the day can start over anytime. I would assert that's probably what most people, that's their first tool. And that's like a really ongoing thing because in a meeting, you can give service, you can get fellowship, you can get phone numbers, so then you can use the telephone to talk to other people. I would assert email and text kind of fall into that category, but it's mostly it's the point is we're reaching out to other people. We're not doing this alone. And that for me is something really important because I remember I don't know if I'm qualifying too much. I also want to say that just to qualify, I currently weigh somewhere between 125 and 130 pounds. I'm 5'3". The highest number I saw on a scale was 189. I'm pretty sure I got closer to 200 just considering how sedentary and how much I was eating during that time of my life. And I've been, you know, about this weight and this size since about 2000. So I first came into program well 1990 after I saw a poster in a teacher's classroom in high school. And this is before the internet, man. You called up, left your address. They sent you an unmarked envelope with a paper meeting schedule. And I'm so grateful my parents were not. They respected my privacy, just gave me my mail. They didn't ask anything about it. Found a meeting that was actually very close to where I lived, and you know, it was weird, but something kept me going. And you know, I think what it was is like I got on a cellular level that, you know, even though these people, a lot of these people are older than me or more married or whatever, all different than me, you know, we all had the thing in common that we wanted to stop hurting ourselves with food. So, got a sponsor, started working the steps. Without going through my entire story, you know, I started college, lost a lot of weight. Like I got down to about 116 pounds, which and I was looking fabulous, I thought. Totally pink cloud. And then it burst. You know, just life happens, you know. And lost my sponsor, not because I, you know, broke my abstinence, but you know, because of her, things going on in her life. And then I floundered around for 2 years, woke up one morning realizing I had a choice, you know, to go to OA or not. Like I realized, what, no one's gonna take me to jail if I don't go to meetings. I'm not gonna get kicked out of school if I don't go to meetings. And I decided to stop going. That was probably my only mistake because, you know, who knows if the next meeting I went to, I would have found like an amazing sponsor, connected with some more friends. Because I mean, I went to college in the East Bay, and you know, we all know, well, a lot of us know that the Uni Intergroup is really strong, and so there were a lot of young people, you know, from colleges. There's a lot of colleges in the East Bay, and you know, I just, I don't know, I couldn't connect with people long term. It felt like people were leaving, and da 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 da. I couldn't find an abstinent sponsor, and so I just quit and gained a lot of weight. And but it was 1990 when I came back, or sorry, the year 2000 I came back. I was reading the literature because I had some literature back from my first time in OA, and I think that was one of those is what inadvertently got me back into program because I was reading it. I was doing some really funky things with food. I lost some weight, but I was still, you know, binging more, and it was really frightening me. And I was so I remember praying to God about. It's interesting that prayer isn't a tool because it's one of the steps. It's kind of an integral step, but anyway, no, I remember asking God, like, I really want to stop hurting myself with food, but I was really clear I'm not going back to OA to do it. Many of you have probably heard of the three-legged stool. It's a spiritual, emotional, and spiritual, emotional, and physical problem. So I remember telling God, okay, I'm gonna take care of the physical with this, you know, diet, pay and weigh diet club I'm in. I'm gonna take care of the emotional with therapy, which I was doing, and I'm gonna take care of the spiritual with this church group I was in. And I'm not saying I endorse or oppose any of those things, but they weren't keeping me abstinent, you know. And you know, about a month after I told God what was not going to happen, I walked into a meeting, you know. So, yeah, and I remember talking to the newcomer greeter, and I think I was really angry, and I was angry because I was fearful. You know, I think I understood the concept of being in the last house on the block, even though I didn't have those words in my consciousness. It was like, what if this doesn't work? Like, I'm screwed. And she was so kind to me. She'd really did good service to welcome me to the meeting. And I've never, this is May 1st of 2000. I've never wanted to leave in that whole 20, what is it, 23 years? I'm trying to do the math. 24 year, almost 24 years. And I've run the gamut of like, I hate all you idiots to like, everybody's so great. And now I kind of sit in the middle most of the time. Like, I'm neither above nor below any of you. You know, I'm just another bozo on the bus trying to get one more day of abstinence. And in fact, you know, I came in believing in like a being higher power, like a singular deity. And I really had to embrace the concept of the group as my higher power. You know, another, like I have multiple concepts of higher power right now, but I had to embrace the group because God, even though I was praying to God, God was didn't want me to get abstinent by myself on my knees in my bedroom. God wanted me to come out and hang out with y'all who, you know, who also understand this stuff. Like y'all understand why, you know, when I remember one day when I was a supervisor at my job for a while, and someone, you know, kindly wanted to share a big cake, you know, that, you know, with people on my team. And they put it on my desk, on my chair of my desk. And I swear I screamed as if someone left a severed head there. You know, most of you are going to get them. Other people be like, what? Just don't eat it if you don't want it, you know, or eat some if you do want it, right? Yeah. So anyway, there's that. So anyway, so when I got a new sponsor, I finally got a sponsor after about, I don't know, 9 months of going to meetings. And I'm here to tell you, it felt really hard to find a sponsor because everyone I asked, you know, said they were full or they couldn't do it or I didn't seem to click with them. But I finally found a sponsor. So I'm here to say, like, if you need a sponsor and you're having trouble finding one, just keep asking. You know, a lot of intergroups have a temporary sponsor list. Maybe you can find somebody for a while. I actually, my first sponsor was supposed to be a temporary sponsor, and we ended up working together. What was really interesting when we first started working, because you're mostly doing the steps. Let me tell you, you have to do a lot of writing, I believe, to do the steps. And I've done multiple ways of working the steps. I've done the workbook, I've done other programs versions. I've even done like the 500 million questions in step four than in our current 12 and 12. And at first I didn't want to do it. I was like, I'm never doing this. And one day I was like, I think I want to do these. And I talked to my sponsor about it, who was really good about talking me out of like really bizarre, weird ideas. And at, for this point, she's like, that sounds like a great idea. I'd be happy to hear that when you're done. I'm like, hey, great. Anyway, with this particular sponsor, my first sponsor, we were working the steps. And at some point I realized, in terms of my plan of eating, I'm like, I think I need to call in my food. I think that would be really helpful. And when she and I first started working, she said, I don't want to hear food. Don't call my food and find somebody else for that. And I didn't want to call in my food. I was like, for some reason, I wanted to keep that to myself. It felt like a secret. And then at some point it felt like, no, I need to my food to not be a secret. I need someone to, at least one person to know what I'm eating. And I still do that to this day. I mean, I've got, like I said, 22 and a half years of abstinence, and I still call my food in. Someone knows what I'm eating. Anyway, so this sponsor, I told her, I think I need to get a food sponsor. And she's like, yeah, I think I think I'm changing my mind about hearing food. So if you want to call into me, you're welcome. And I'm like, yeah, you're hired. So that's not part of my plan of eating, is that I call in my food. And what I actually eat has changed a lot over the years. I'm not a person who equates my abstinence with my plan of eating. Like if I deviate from my plan of eating, that does not mean I've broken my abstinence. I believe there's some people who they do that, and that makes it very clear for them. And I love that. But I can't work that way, because inevitably something's going to happen where I cannot, I cannot, something's going to, I'm going to forget something, or something's not going to be available that I think is available. Something's going to happen where I just cannot get the food I think I'm going to get. And I have to be able to be a little bit, at least a little flexible to let that happen. So there you go. So my food, and my body's changing, so there's certain foods I can't tolerate as much anymore. That's there's that. What else? What else? Oh, and of course, the literature. That's definitely part of my step work. I mean, if you're gonna do the questions out of the step four book, that's literature. There's also so many great things. There's daily readers, which have helped me in the past. I love meetings where we read the literature and we can talk, share about with each other. Just a lot of good stuff. And it's another way to hear people's shares, because the literature is written by us. Phone calls, I talked about that. Anonymity, this is an interesting one. And I mean, at the very basic level, we don't have to tell anybody about our membership here. They say, who you see here, what you hear here, let it stay here, hear, hear. And I absolutely agree with that. Out in the not outside of the rooms, I'm pretty open about my membership in OA. I mean, I don't go walking around shouting it, through a megaphone. I don't wear like an ask me about OA button or anything. Not like those exist, but it's, but if it comes up and it's appropriate, I will say it to somebody. I have friends in OA that I do stuff with. If non-OA friends are joining us, I will tell my OA friends, hey, I'm really out about it. If someone asks how we know each other, you're welcome to say OA, or if there's something else you want me to say, let me know that. And some of my friend OA friends are like, yeah, cool, whatever. You can say how we know each other. Other people are like, yeah, just say we have mutual friends or something like that. Awesome. I will respect that. So that's anonymity. There's other parts of anonymity where it's, have to do with respecting traditions. Like, my ego is not like respecting group consciences. It's kind of like that. Like, check my ego at the door and respect the group conscience. And there's ways to get our opinions voiced. What else? What else? What else? I have 5 minutes. So plan of action is an official tool, and I think I know. And I was in program a while when this was introduced as a tool, and I remember it being really confusing, like, because I think some people wanted it to be exercise, like specifically that kind of action. But it really is basically, and it finally clicked for me. I wasn't so uptight about it when some really, like really old timers, people with decades of experience were like, it's kind of like what we're doing already. It's how you plan what you're gonna do to like support your program or to live a sane life. And it's that's and it can be everything from like, it could be exercise, it could be I'm gonna go shopping for my food, I'm gonna prepare my food, I'm gonna call my sponsor, I'm gonna write my steps, I'm gonna go to a meeting. It's like, what are you going to do that supports your recovery? It might not be a official program thing either. It's like, okay, I need to go to my doctor's appointment, or I'm going to show up to work and do my best, that kind of thing. Oh, and also I think I'm going to share something about like work stuff that just came to me. I guess this falls into a plan of action. I would say prayer could be part of a plan of action. And I know it talks about praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. God, higher power, whatever you want to call it. And I know, and I've heard other people share this too, that sometimes I'm afraid to ask for what God's will is because it might be something really horrendous or something I don't want to do, sell all my possessions and move to, a third world country and live without water and electricity. And it's like, no, usually it's something like I need to go to work and have that conversation with somebody, or work with that person who I find challenging, or set a boundary with a family member, things like that, which are like actually hard and actually may happen. I think if God really wanted me to sell my possessions and move to the third world, I'd be a little more like, yeah, that sounds cool. But it's the things like that are really hard. Showing up for a family member who is struggling with the holidays and is acting out in, this actually happened over Christmas. One of my family members was really struggling. I know they were struggling with the holidays, but they were acting really inappropriately. And it was like, how do I deal with this? Because I love this person, I care about them, but they're really being unacceptable. Thank God for people in program and, writing and praying. I really prayed about how to deal with this person, and I think I feel like I handled it appropriately. And the feedback I got from people I talked to, it sounded like I did. So, I have 3 minutes left. I can't think of much else to say. I just keep coming back, make that a plan of action. Keep coming back to the meetings, to the literature, to the phone, to other people, the steps. Like I said, the day can start over anytime. If you have to start over like 500 times a day, do it. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, my favorite tradition is number three. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. It's not a requirement to be abstinent. It's not a requirement of a specific plan of eating. It's not required to be a certain weight. It's not required to be a certain age or a certain belief or have worked the steps in a certain way. You just need the desire to stop eating compulsively. And even if it's a tiny little bit of desire, like you're not 100% sure, that's great. Just be here, and we will love you until you can love yourself. And even as a person with like decades of recovery, I still need that. I still need y'all to love me sometimes, because sometimes it's like, oh crap, I can't love myself. Like I, or this part of myself. And acceptance is the answer, but sometimes it's really hard to get there. And I think that's it. Thank you so much for letting me speak, and hopefully I've been of service. If not, we got a bunch of other people in this room we've got to share, and we will hear, I know we'll hear something great out of them. So thank you.